Fast Eddie in the studios here at EAA Radio. And with me today is Lee Arnold. Now, the significant part about Lee Arnold is he is EAA member number 1488. I myself am in the hundreds of thousands, so this is quite a lifelong member. Lee, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
And how many years have you been coming to AirVenture?
I started coming when they were having an organizational meeting or whatever they wanted to call it at Mitchell Field in Milwaukee.
Back in the Milwaukee days, I've heard about this. I was never there, unfortunately, but this is the very dawn of EAA then.
Yeah, I don't know when the time, but I think it was July of 56 that I was on my way through to go back to work at Canada. I was working at Avro up there as a U.S. Consultant to help him get the drawings made up on to get that plane documented. And so how I heard about the fact that there were some airplane guys having a meeting, I have no idea. But I adjusted my trip to get to where I went around the north side of the lake to go back to Toronto instead of around the south, and you know, found these guys out there at Mitchell Field.
How many people were there?
As I recall, there was never more than about 20 airplanes there.
So this is
just the guys, you know. And the story is that they had met a couple of times previously, and I don't know exactly when this falls. It was toward the time that they had incorporations, if they were moving far enough along that they already had or had not done their incorporation. But that was. One corner of one hangar with some guys sitting around and yakking with each other. And there's one story I've never been able to straighten out, that they said that the reason that the EAA was thought up or decided upon by the people that were there was the fact that Miller keg that they had there, it was still had some left in it, so they sat around and talked until they decided that they should make an organization. So I don't know how. I've never been able to chase that one down myself.
Well, you know, there probably is a lot of truth in that, because there have been many things in aviation that have been thought of and drawn out in restaurants and bars. I mean, yeah. How many airplanes have started on a cocktail napkin?
Yeah.
The stories are endless.
Yeah.
So you've seen it in the very early days, and you've seen it progress throughout the years. What do you think, what were some of the more important things that affected you personally during this development?
Oh, I think it was the people that you met were always really solid, really dedicated. The type of guy you'd like to have as a good friend and a neighbor, you know.
Well, it sounds like you've met a lot of wonderful people. Were there any people that you met out there that really influenced the way you did things?
Oh, my problem is part of the reason, I guess, of gathering up this information is that my frontal lobe isn't the greatest, and that's supposedly where your memory is for people's names and things such as that. I have been around in a lot of people. I was involved with chapters 23, 24. It was basically Salt Lake and Dallas. We were organizing a chapter out there at Arlington State University, or college actually it was at the time, down at Dallas. And you know, then I was at when I left there, I think I ended up in Salt Lake with a solid bunch of people that made, you know, were building airplanes before the paperwork got through.
What were you flying back then?
Oh, I was flying anything that I could borrow or rent. The people that I remember particularly, of course, was a guy named Frank Kelsey that was woodworking manual and such on building airplanes. And Frank had been with Bolas as a professor, you know, building that when Bolas was selling the little glider for trainers. And he made those, and it was kind of interesting that they had two versions of that, and one of them they had like a porthole that was cut in that. It was a laminated pod, actually. It had the pod and the boom on it. Frank was a guy that flew planes for a living. He ran the FBO there at Salt Lake. So he had that for a 6-day-week job, and then on Sundays he flew sailplanes.
It's not a bad thing to fly, that's for sure. Are there any airplanes out there that you never got to fly that you would like to have flown?
I didn't fly all that much, you know. People don't turn, even after they've seen you fly other things. Walt Tynert's Tailwind was probably one of the first ones of the Tailwinds I got a chance to fly in, and even to fly it back to Rockford with Walt, of course.
Well, as I recall, EAA started out, and I may be wrong on this, but I'm a little vague on EAA history. There was Milwaukee stuff, there was Rockford stuff, and I'm not sure if there was another intermediate point before they moved here. But, you know, of course, you came along with it.
Yeah.
And you've seen some tremendous changes in Air Venture over the years. Your personal opinion, do you like what you see out here? Or is there stuff that you'd like to see changed?
Well, I don't know. I think the thing that really impressed me was the changes that were made, where instead of the guys that were run as the board of directors were a guy that owned an electrical equipment distribution company out in Lubbock, I think it was Lubbock, out in Texas, as a director. And then the transition came when the directors' names were tied to the larger corporations. And they were, you know, and so that it was a transition that was a logical business transition, but it got made a little bit less first name basis to everybody up in the organization. But actually, you had an intermediate where they went to Oshkosh. The guys all came to Oshkosh. I think it was a year that they also had a Goodyear class race here at Oshkosh. And then they went back to Rockford for a couple of years, 2 or 3 years. When they were, as I understand, the Rockford problems of the thing that caused them to go to Oshkosh permanently was the fact that Rockford wasn't turning loose the use of a big land, clear land area that was there by the Rockford Airport. So consequently, they couldn't go ahead and grow, and so they wound up. There were some business people there in Rockford that wouldn't go along with their, you know, letting an organization have the park area, even for a couple of nights a year, to have a fly-in, and so that's really what threw it into Oshkosh solidly. But that was just noticing it from our comments and literatures, and you know, from the different people, because I wasn't in any kind of a pay grade like that, if you would call it an industry.
You've been around for a very long time. You've watched EAA grow, and you've come to Oshkosh for a number of years. the enthusiasm of the younger generations. Do you still see that in every generation, the next generation that comes up to Oshkosh?
Yes. But the one that I have noticed is they're inducing these kids to come take a ride in an airplane instead of the kids saying, "I'll wash your airplane, mister."
Well, yeah, but that you're talking about the Young Eagles program.
Yes, yes.
Have you heard that they just flew the 2 millionth
yes,
Young Eagles?
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes, our St. Louis chapter is very active in Young Eagles, and it's a major reason that you can tell that the EAA is at the airport is on Young Eagles Day.
And that's a good thing. It exposes, you know, the idea is that it gives kids exposure to things that perhaps you weren't exposed to when you were younger.
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't it have been great to have had a Young Eagles program back when you were a teenager?
Well, it would have been, you know, I was barely, barely a teenager at the time. So, yeah.
But still, it would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, oh yeah. It would have been a lot easier and a lot, you know, a lot more. But the airports, you know, I could walk onto the municipal airport, go to six people that were teaching people to fly if they had the money and the inclination. Where, you know, now you have got all of these, everything is much more closed and such, and even before there was any threats and such, it was purely as dim. I guess it was a liability situation of having people wander on the airports.
And that's a shame of it, because undoubtedly that's how many EAA members got started.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You go out to the airport and take an interest in an airplane, and the next thing you know, you're involved in aviation in many ways. And I'm sure you've had a lot of fun with it too.
Oh yeah, it's been great. It's always a learning experience, you know. And it's always been people very interesting people, are sharing a common interest. You know, you got the guy that has a small manufacturing company that has a little 105 Stinson. At the time that the Coastal Patrol gangs were gone and coming back, I'd never made that one, but the Oklahoma Trek crowd had a lot of coverage over there on the East Coast. You know, they had I was surprised in the number of 105 Stinsons with the three-place airplane that was a predominant flyer on those coastal patrols. Well, you know, they had all the other ones too. They had the Fairchild and the Beach and Stinsons and the other type of Stinsons and everything else. But you know, they had guys out there that were out of sight of land.
That's a scary.
Barely, yeah.
You know, they didn't have the equipment that they do nowadays. No. That's for sure. Lee, just for grins and giggles here, how old are you?
I'm 88.
88.
Yes.
Wow. Well, sir, we wish you well. We're talking to Lee Arnold here. He's EAA member number 1488. This is going back, 50, 60, 70 years?
Actually, I think it was 56.
56.
And that was the time I signed up there.
Lee, just to give you a little perspective, I was 3 years old back then. That's a lot of things. A lot of water's gone under the bridge.
Yeah, but then I was only about 14.
Hey, that's okay. You were doing things that I eventually got to doing myself, so it all works out.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Lee Arnold here in the studio. I'm Fast Eddie. This is EAA Radio.